The government printing office has been on a long-term shift away from ink on paper to digital documents delivered over the Internet. But for a year, it lacked a Senate-confirmed leader. Now, Davita Vance Cooks was finally confirmed this month as the 27th public printer of the United States, and she joins us now. Ms. Vance Cooks, great to have you on.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you all?
All right. So let's ask the question that's on everybody's lips first. And there has been a lot of talk about changing the name of GPO to the Government Publishing Office. Is that going to happen, or is that just conversation at this point?
Well, thank you so much for asking that question. We've had some preliminary discussions with our oversight committee, and the legislation has not yet been formulated. But this whole concept of changing our name and preserving our initials from the Government Printing Office to the Government Publishing Office is very similar to something that GAO took, an action that they took several years ago when they changed their name from General Accounting Office to Government Accountability Office. It's called redesignation. And the statutory redesignation basically states that wherever the name GPO appears in law, regulation, or elsewhere, it would be the Government Publishing Office. And we want this name changed because we are just much more than a print operation. We want it to more accurately reflect the function of what we do today. We produce digital products, utilize digital equipment, embrace digital processes, create digital databases, develop apps. We just do so much more than print. We are a publishing operation. So thanks for the question. I appreciate it.
And all of those methods, I mean, your goal is to get this government information out into the hands of as many people as possible. What have you found to be the most effective strategy?
The most effective strategy of getting the information to most of the people is to put these products online. And we've done it through a product called FDSIS. And this is a digital database of government documents. And every time we publish a government document, we put it online in addition to a tangible print copy. As of today, we have about 800,000 titles on that digital database, and about 35 to 45 million documents are downloaded each month, and we are continually adding more content to FDSIS. So this is the best way to get that information out there, in addition to the fact that we're starting to use social media to let people know that we are here, we have government documents, and that they're vital to the nation.
And a lot of those documents, through no fault of your agencies, but a lot of them are dry and perhaps not as interesting to the many Americans who don't need to use this stuff for a professional reason or for research or whatnot. How are you trying to make this more enticing to those Americans?
Well, one of the things that we do is we have a blog that is on our website. We choose particular documents or particular books, and we try to push it through our blog so that they understand that it is, in fact, an important part of the nation. It's important information. But there are some documents that are important to the nation, and we found a lot of interest, like the health care law, immigration, all of that is still very vital, very important, and they do come in and pull that data down. So by the fact that we're seeing 35 to 40 million documents downloaded each month, it speaks to the fact that there is great interest in what we are producing.
Now, you had a long time in the private sector, but you're not a newcomer to the GPO, just a newcomer to the office that you have now. What do you find that the organization looks like now that you are at the top of it? Because it has been undergoing a lot of change for quite a few years.
An amazing agency because we have a noble mission, which is to keep America informed, and we produce all of the government documents that are important and critical to the nation. One of the things that I am so impressed about is that over the past few years, we have developed a strategic plan. It's important for us to have an idea of where we're going as we shift from a print-centric operation to a digital operation. And in so doing, I'm bringing the employees along with me in this strategic plan. They're buying into it and they understand it. So we're changing our demographics in terms of our workforce, we're changing our goals, and we're changing the way in which we operate and reach out to the public. It's a very exciting time for us.
We're speaking with public printer Davita Vance Cooks. And on a personal level, you were the acting public printer for more than a year. Does it make a difference now that you don't have that acting before your title?
Emily, it feels great. It feels great to have been. I'm just honored by President Obama's nomination. I'm just elated about the Senate's confirmation. And I just feel good about the agency and about where we're headed. It's just exciting.
Do you think it gives you more perhaps political capital or a little bit more authority to push forward things that might not be so popular?
Probably, I would say that because I am now the public printer and that I was nominated and confirmed, I would say that's probably right, Emily. Yes.
By the way, do you use an electronic book reader yourself?
I do, absolutely. Do you?
Yes, actually. I've got a used one, but I'm just learning, you know, how the virtues of it, because the battery lasts a really long time. But so one of the questions I wanted to ask you concerns legislation, which, you know, Congress publishes itself in PDFs, which are rarely searchable. Sometimes they look like they were run off on a copy machine, and you can see, you know, ink stains and so forth. When will the public easily be able to find searchable views of bills as they progress through the legislative process? Is that something GPO would be able to do?
That's correct. That's exactly correct. I would like you to also or refer you to our GPO.gov website and look at our FDCIS site, and you'll see that we also offer bulk data in repository formats, and that's where a lot of people go in and pull that data down so they can manipulate and search as well. But also on our FDCIS site, you can see some of that information. It's easily searchable. We are always upgrading the FDCIS website, which has all of the government documents, and we're also getting ready to upgrade the search engine on that site for exactly the reason you articulated.
Yeah, because one of the problems I think people have found over the years with the Library of Congress Thomas site is that just the way the site is constructed and what it forks over is not all that searchable or easily usable.
I think you're raising a very interesting point about the need for all of us to make sure, especially GPO, that our website is easily searchable, because we are trying very hard to make sure that the public has easy access to our information. The government documents are very important to the nation, and people need to know where to find it and how to find it. So you're bringing up a very good point.
And in terms of the content that you publish, does GPO have any latitude to say to agencies or to Congress, you know, we really want to publish this document, something perhaps that they wouldn't have come to you to have published in the first place?
Okay, you're referring to fugitive documents. There are some documents where they don't come to the GPO, and we call them fugitive documents.
That's a great name.
Yes, it is. In that case, we would approach the agency and ask for permission to load that document onto our site.
And how often do you do that? I mean, is that a big part of what you do?
Well, it is quite a large part of what we do, especially through our FDLP program, because we're very interested in making sure that the libraries have access to that data. And we have an FDLP program which has about 1,200 libraries across the United States. And they are primarily involved in making sure that the documents are available not only online, but also in tangible print to their constituents.
And as we look toward this digital future, this FDCIS expansion, aren't there some things that will always be ink on paper, though?
That's right. Most of the time we've determined that there are about three categories that will be ink on paper. That would be products that are used for the official use, products that tend to be in the public use, and products that tend to have archival requirements. Because at this point, only print has a proven record of longevity.
Like the messages and papers of the presidents, that volume still come out? Isn't there a hand-done version that's given
that's
to the
right.
president?
It's tangible print, but it is also online.
All right, so what's the next big thing for you now that all this is launched?
We're very involved in the app development. In fact, we've developed several apps already because of the fact that we know that the younger generation, the new generation, wants that information readily available at their fingertips. So we put the President's FY13 budget in an app, and in fact, we received a digital service award for that. The FY14 budget's in an app, the member guide for the 112th Congress. So we're going to do a lot of that, and you'll see a lot more activity in that area.
All right. Well, we'll be checking in with you as it goes along. Davita Vance-Cooks, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.